So, last week we discussed the realization of our position and the fact that because we said yes to God, His sovereign plan for our life unfolds. His divine plan has already been laid out for us. We've been predestined for this life. How many know God's got plans for us? One person knows. How many know God's got plans for us? And they're good plans. Thank God He didn't give us the whole 9 yards up front because we'd mess it up royal. Life has its turns, its valleys, its hills. But everything always works out because we belong to God. Come on, someone. I often say all of this in heaven to boot. We got heaven to look forward to. So this week we're going to trudge on. We're going to be in start in verse 6. And would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for this wonderful book of Yours. Thank You, God, for the Word that is strong in our hearts and in our minds. Thank You, Lord, for the Spirit of God that moves within us and leads and guides us, directs us. Thank You for Your wonderful grace, God, that You pour on us. And we give You praise for Your Word. Bring it alive in our hearts, O God. Change our lives, O God. We want to move from the mundane to the miraculous. And Father, we do so by holding You close to our heart. Lord, thank You for the footsteps in front of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So beginning in verse 6, we went from verse 1 to 5 last week, and we want to look at verse 6 to begin with, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Praise the Lord. To the praise of the glory of His grace, the grace that empowers us, someone said it last week, grace is not just unmerited favor, it's power to walk in godly things. When we choose, when we have a choice to walk the way the world wants us to or the way God wants us to, how many know the grace of God gives us the ability to walk as holy, righteous, separated saints? Amen. Why? Because we've been accepted in the Beloved. The crowd that we are surrounded by enhances us and glorifies God so that we are able to walk in the fullness of the King. You're known by the company you keep. How many know you're known by the company you keep? We are in the company of angels. We are in the company of the saints that have went before. God influences us every day if we're perceptive enough. We're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. It's not strange when we hear things from the Lord. We hear things, even when something seems like it's just information, it becomes revelation to us because of what we're surrounded by. It's the glory of His grace. Colossians 1:13 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We know because of the company we keep. We know because the Spirit of God is within us. The fact that we have the power to walk as part of the family of God with all the rights and privileges is a great revelation. It's not something we work at. It's something that we move in because of what we're surrounded by. Come on, someone. He has made us accepted. He shaped us. He formed us. He called us to new existence. He who the Son makes free. One of the things I pick at all the time is the misquoting of John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth, some say, shall set you free. The Word of God does not say that. It says that, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed, in verse 36, John 8:36. There's a difference between sets free and makes free. If I can be set free, I can be caught again. Are you there? If I can be set free, I can be caught again. But if I'm made free from the ground up, I'm free. I'm born free. When I became born again and was filled with the Spirit of God, God made me free. We talk a lot about the enemy stealing stuff and taking us as captive. The only way he can do that is when we have a lack of faith and give the enemy more power than he ever was intended to have. Come on, someone. We make our own problems. Are you there? I want to share something with you that's very private, but I want to share it with you. I happen to be a prime member of Amazon. I don't know about you, but I'm a prime member. And I have privileges with that prime membership. I get stuff next day. I order something, I get it the next day. And I don't have to pay shipping. It's pretty cool. Now, you can be a member of this elite club if you pay your dues. I happen to pay $9.99 a month. I think it's $10.99 or $9.99 a month. So I get free shipping, and I'm a member of the elite Amazon Prime. Come on, someone. You are a member of the beloved. You are a member of the beloved. When you ask, heaven answers. When you speak, heaven listens. Your membership has been guaranteed by God. And I got news for you, there's no dues. So when you pray, God answers. When you pray, God listens. Why? Because you are a member of the beloved. God has made us accepted in the beloved. That's good stuff. That's good stuff, my friend. Because we've got this idea that somehow we're bothering God, or God's too busy, or God doesn't want to answer. No, God listens because he's our Father. We're part of the family. When we speak, God listens. As a matter of fact, Jesus said it this way, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it that the Father might be glorified in me. Come on, someone. That's exciting news. And when it works, we're kind of aghast. Man, this thing worked. I was telling Cam, I think, the other day, Cam and I were talking, and I was remembering when I was a young Christian, and I had more brains than money. And I didn't have many brains, so I didn't have any money. And I had to go to the laundromat because we didn't have a washer and dryer. Our washer quit, so I had to go to the laundromat. It was late at night, about 10 o'clock at night, and I finally got to go there because I had worked a 16-hour shift, and Terry was taking care of the kids, and I went to the laundromat, and my pastor's wife was there, and she was a little embarrassed because she was in curlers, and she had a scarf around her curlers, and I remember she hadn't expected to see anybody, and neither had I. So there were two kind of people sitting there talking, and we got one of those. She bought me one of those cheap cups of coffee out of the coffee machines. Yuck. And I can remember sitting there talking to her and finally unburdening myself and said, we don't have any money. And kids needed milk and all of that stuff. And she told me a story about believing God, something about praying and asking God and believing. And so we prayed and she folded her clothes and she left. And I was contemplating that, got into the dryer and started to fold clothes, and in the back of the dryer, in the lip of the dryer, was two $20 bills. Two $20 bills, and I thought, well, is this mine or what should I do? I mean, it's a laundromat. It's by that time 11 o'clock at night. How many know God provided? I asked, and God provided. And I've never since that day believed God wouldn't provide for me. And I've seen him make something out of nothing. Why? Not because I'm somebody special. Not because I'm a prime member of heaven. It's because I'm part of the family. I'm made and accepted in the beloved. It goes with the package. Come on, someone. It's not because I have a name in front of, you know, that I'm a reverend or these guys that travel and say I've got these secrets about God. No, it's because you're a child of God. You ask and God provides. Come on, someone. John 8:32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. This isn't something that we argue about. This is something, look, it says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. And where His Spirit is, there is liberty. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Your choice. Your choice. To the praise of the glory of His grace by which He had made us accepted in the beloved. The striving in your life can cease. There's nothing more that you need. Christ is sufficient. You have divine liberty. Liberty in the original means to do what one pleases. Truly a freedom from sin and a love for righteousness. Don't be afraid that you're that free that you can do what you please, because when you're in love with God, what you do is godly. What you do is righteous. This need not be a negative thing. To be free is a God-given right of every believer. Freedom is a right. We almost feel guilty. Paul says that the religious men and women of his day tried to creep in and make him feel guilty about his liberty in Galatians. They came in to spy on our liberty. But liberty is a God-given right of every believer. So the difference between being set free and made free is so very important. You were born free. A new life and identity were yours when you said yes to Christ. It does not matter what people say or how you feel or what the thoughts in your head are. You are free. If you were set free, you can be captured, but you are not. You are made free. Verse 7 says, Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. There it is again, the riches of His grace. Redemption, to pay the full price for. We have been completely redeemed. Our redemption is paid in full. Come on, someone. There's nothing more that we have to do to be redeemed. Verse 7 says, His redemption is ours. Come on, someone. We belong to God. Turn to somebody and say, I belong to God. Redemption paid the full price. And how was it paid? Through His precious blood. There's no stronger element in the world than the blood of Jesus Christ. And He has made me free. I've been made free from the ground up. And I've been redeemed, paid for. Completely. The enemy has nothing in me. Come on, someone. Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1:22, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. We have communication with God at the drop of a hat. We hear God's word because we're accepted and beloved. We hear God's word because we're redeemed. And that's our nature now. We don't have to strive to hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is our nature. Hearing God is our nature. It's our nature to hear Him. We go with what we know. Come on, someone. And when doubt and unbelief and the world starts striking at you, telling you can't hear, telling you you're not worthy, they're lying to you. And if you believe the lie, you get caught up in being prison. And we have many that are prisoners of war and missing in action because of the battles that have already been won that they feel they need to fight. Every battle has been won for you. Come on, someone. Every battle has been won. If there's a battle that you're fighting, stop it. The battle is for the lost souls of the world. The battle is to see the kingdom of God established. It's not in whether or not you're saved or whether or not you're okay or whether or not you have a good relationship with God. You do. Your relationship is sealed. You've been redeemed. You've been owned by Him. 2 Corinthians 5:5. Now He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. King James Version says, as a down payment. God redeemed us and left us with His Spirit so that the Spirit tells us everything that God wants us to know pertaining to life and godliness. Come on, someone. So we have all that we need in Him. And because we're part of the family of God, God forgives our sins. There's a difference between sin and sins. Our sin nature is dead. Come on, someone. We have to work at sinning. It's a big step of faith for somebody accepting and beloved that has an environment of God to sin. It takes a lot of faith for us to go against the grain and go against God's will. You're not there. Come on, somebody. Our very nature is to do the righteous thing. We have integrity because of who is in us. Doesn't matter who's around us. It's who's in us. When we're alone, we do the right thing. Come on, someone. It's because the Spirit of God lives in us. It's because we've been accepted and beloved. It's because we've been redeemed. It's our position. It hasn't changed. It's the same for everyone that's been born again. The sin nature is now dead. And our sins, if we commit a sin, they're forgiven because of the covenant He instituted with everyone who calls on His name. Four things I've said. Whenever you commit a sin, first thing is recognize it's a sin. That helps. Don't try to make an excuse. Say, I made a mistake. Or, you know, as in Washington, I misspoke. No, you didn't misspeak. You lied. You're a liar. Come on, someone. Recognize that you've sinned. Secondly, repent of the sin. Just repent. Come on, somebody. It's like the castor oil my mother used to make me drink. It really tastes bad, but it'll do the work. Repent. Come on, someone. The third thing is to release it. That's the hardest for Christians to do. I don't know why we feel like we need to beat ourselves up. Release the sin now. If God forgives you and says you're okay, release it. Don't beat yourself. Don't say, you know, I've really screwed up. Release it. And then return to your position in Christ. The four R's. The four R's. Recognize you've sinned. Repent. Release it. And return. Come on, someone. That's for free today. The sin nature is now dead. Verse 8 says, He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Not only has it been given to us, but it is abounding in us with wisdom and prudence accompanying. Wisdom, Sophia, wisdom, broad and full of intelligence, used of the knowledge of very diverse matters. We know, someone said, we know that we know that we know. God has poured in us so that we know His will, so we know His righteousness. With all wisdom and prudence, prudence, phronesis, understanding, knowledge, and holy love of the will of God. We know what God wills. We know what God wants. Think of it, knowing the will of God at all times and in every circumstance. Now, it doesn't always mean that it's easy to follow the will of God. Come on, someone. When God says, if you want healed, you got to do this. And you say, well, God, can't you heal me without doing that? Come on, someone. I shared several months ago about a time that I went through church split. Some terrible things happened. Some people said terrible things about me, and I had to go to those people and say, can you forgive me? Are you there? I didn't do anything to them, but God said, you got to ask them to forgive you. and you can't be sarcastic and you can't say anything and you can't wait for an answer. Come on, someone. The wisdom of God and the understanding of God said, this is what I want. And I was released. I don't know if they've been released, but I sure am free. See, it may take seeking and praying and fasting, but it will be known. His wisdom and understanding known by all. To say we can never know is to separate us from His revealed will. You can know the will of God. Many live frustrated lives. It need not be so. Why? Because of all the Scripture has just told us, beginning with we're accepted and beloved. Our environment is one of God's presence inside us, all around us. He set angels around us. He set people around us. Why? Because we've been redeemed. Redemption that abounds to us. A relationship with God daily will build the knowledge of His will, from the word printed to that which is spoken to our spirit. Why do we need to know His will anyway? So we can fulfill the plans that He has for us in the kingdom. His will being carried out by His ambassadors. You are an ambassador of God. God has a plan for you. And it goes far beyond who you are. God takes care of everything that has to do with you because He wants you to be infectious in your surroundings. Come on, someone. I went to a country. I forget what country I went. I think it was way to India. I was in a plane where half the plane was wearing masks. You know, those little medical masks. Because they had heard some kind of a flu virus had been around. How many Christians walk around with masks on, not wanting to share what God has done for them and not wanting to catch what the world has done? Can I encourage you to take the masks off? Tell people what God has done. Be infectious. Come on, someone. The world is waiting for infectious people. They want to catch what we have. They just don't know it. And finally, verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. What is the goal? The goal of God is to restore the kingdom to His original place. A father with sons and daughters ruling and reigning with Him. It's not just to forgive sin. He did that so He could build relationship with us. Very first thing Jesus said out of His mouth, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If you repent, the kingdom is yours. Come on, someone. He's establishing something, and His goal is to gather all. Can you imagine on that day seeing everyone that ever lived that accepted Christ before and after the cross? Come on, someone. Can you imagine what that will be like, being together with everyone with no sin? Ruling and reigning with Christ, the possibilities are endless. You go out and look at the sky, look at the stars. Last night I was out on the back porch, I was looking at the stars. I said, God, there is awesome. I mean, so many stars, I couldn't even begin to count them, and planets that are out there. What's God going to do with all that for eternity? Come on, someone. It's amazing. But He has a plan for us. Come on, someone. He has a plan for us. And I like to think that He's going to help us travel and see things that we never saw before and experiencing things. The goal of God is to restore the kingdom. When He made Adam and Eve out of the dust of the earth, His intent was for them to go forth and have dominion. Go forth and rule the earth. Rule and reign with Him. And they failed miserably. But God said, I'm going to restore those things so that My children can rule and reign with Me. that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Everything in creation will once again be in unity without sin, without resistance, without rebellion, without old split foot. The enemy will be gone. All the demonic hosts will be gone. Everything wiped out. Satan's kingdom will be eradicated completely. He will gather all things to himself, the completion of the plan. And we're going to be there ringside to see it. Come on, somebody. I can't wait. But in the meanwhile, there's a job to do. In the meanwhile, there's a kingdom to establish. It's not in the sweet by and by. It's now. You say, well, what can I do? What can my small life? It can mean everything. You never know where your seeds are going to land. That's left up to God. Come on, someone. The guy that came to my house with a Keith Green album and tell me all about Jesus, he had no idea that I'd travel around the world, preach to thousands of people, see people healed, touch villages, start churches in India, start churches in Mexico. Come on, somebody. How did he ever know that would happen? And the multitudes that I've got to touch and the multitudes that you've got to touch. God is building his kingdom, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, the Son of his love. Explain Colossians 1:13 in your own words this morning. This is where you get to preach. What's it mean to be conveyed from darkness into the kingdom of his Son?
We change kingdoms by choice.
Change kingdoms. What happens when we change kingdoms?
Accept Jesus. You accept the Lord.
Accept the Lord. Yes.
I got the Holy Spirit in me. I have communication with heaven. And I'm not going to burn in hell.
Amen.
Because I deserve that.
We're no longer of this world. We don't belong in this world. We're just traveling through.
Just pass it through. Don't belong in the world.
And I have the power and authority of the King.
Amen.
Amen. Right. When we speak on heaven's behalf. Come on, someone.
Yes.
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 And I pray peace in my home, and heaven's bringing peace in my home. I pray protection around my home. Heaven's praying protection around my home. Come on, someone. Because I got the uniform on. Part of the prime membership. Come on, someone. Someone else. Conveyed into the kingdom of his love. What does that mean?
Transferred.
Transferred.
You no longer want to do evil.
No longer want to do evil. Yes.
Should be able to love the unlovable like I was.
Come on. Kingdom of his love. We could do a lot with love, couldn't we? Community right now is all in a stir. I'm reading things on the thing because of this latest trial with Alyssa Shepherd, by the way. Pray for that whole thing. Sentencing comes in December. She's found guilty on all five counts. But in discussions I've had with different people, there are emotions right at the surface. But our job is to love everybody involved. It's a tragic accident, and we could put ourselves in the shoes of the people that lost the children, in the shoes of the people that took the children's lives. And the only thing we can come up with is love. We've got to love them. He's delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, where even up to the trial date, they're still getting death threats in letters. Come on, someone. What is the difference between being set free and made free?
You heard my rendition. What's yours?
If you're set free, you can be caught again. If you're made free, you can't.
What else does that make you if you're made free?
Free.
Free. Belong to the kingdom.
Pardon me?
Belong to the kingdom.
The thing I see is, once you're made free, then if you choose to allow yourself to be put back into bondage, that's on you. Because God set, made you free. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the possession of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I think that even for myself, that's the hardest thing for me to keep in mind every day in my walk, is that I am a child of the Most High God. I've been conveyed. When you say conveyed, I think about going through a conveyor belt and being smashed and being molded and being pressed in to kind of like a fiber would. They take all those fibers and they run it through the conveyor. And that's what we are like as children of God. He is constantly molding us, and he's the potter, we're the clay, you know, and if he doesn't like that, then he's going to smash it all down and convey it into something that he wants. That's how I see it.
Amen. Wow. That's good. It's good preaching.
A promise that we can stand on.
I'm sorry?
A promise that we can stand on.
A promise that we can stand on. Amen.
The thing I see is it's like the situation you were talking about with this unfortunate deal on the school bus. I find myself reading some of these comments, and I'm thinking, man, these people aren't showing any grace. You know what I mean? And it's like, it really makes you, and I've been in a situation where I'm thinking, okay, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't react this way. I'm supposed to react in a Christian way. Sometimes that's not easy to do.
You know, the righteous way.
Somebody stole my memory card out of my deer camera the other day. Well, when I got over there and went to pull that camera card and it was gone, I wasn't thinking how much I love that guy that stole that camera. Yeah. You know, that's where the rubber meets the road. Are you really going to be changed, or are you going to be just like the rest of the world?
Yeah. Let's skip down. Who would like to share what the biggest battle faced in your thought life is? It's the biggest battle in your thought life. Yes, Craig.
Lies of the enemy.
Lies of the enemy.
Yes.
Like what?
Tell them you're not good enough to do something.
Yes.
You're not called to do what you're doing.
Can't hear you.
Not called to do what you're doing. Not good enough.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Basically discouragement.
Discouragement.
You're healed, but they'll say you're not healed.
Yeah. Someone else. What are you fighting in your thought life?
Forgiving yourself.
I'm sorry? Forgiving yourself. Boy, isn't that that's a tough one right there. You know what helped me? Is when I couldn't forgive myself, God, I felt the Lord speak to me. He said, you're better than I am then, right? I forgave you. You can't forgive you, so you put yourself above me. That settled that for me. If he forgave me, I can forgive me.
Takes care of that excuse. Well,
isn't that good?
Yes.
He said, you're better than I am then because you can't forgive yourself, so I need to step up and be like you. Yes.
I think for me recently, which I know I don't need to accept this thought, is because it's been 14 years since I've seen our son. We thought we were going to go this month, and the Lord has told us to wait. And I know that waiting on him is to fulfill his plan in our lives while we're waiting. I don't know when we're going to go. Part of me is thinking foolishly and worrying foolishly. What if he gets worse and we don't get to go see him before he passes? which is a stupid, you know, I mean, all of that is what ifs and what, and it's just worry and it's torment and it's not the will of God. So I am releasing that to the Lord. And
That's a lot of thought.
It's a lot of thought. And I just have to start worshiping the Lord and putting it aside, because my thinking and my worrying doesn't change anything except upsetting me. So it goes back to trusting God, having faith in Him, and knowing that He knows my heart, and I have to walk in His will.
Jesus said it like this: don't worry, because if what would worry do? Would it add 1 inch to your height? It's not going to do anything for you. Yes. Yeah, you had your hand up.
I'd be me, myself, and I. Battling to keep me and what I want out of the way, placing myself in God's arms so that I can strive more to be what He wants me to be.
Did you do that, or did you hear that somewhere?
No, it just set me up.
Say that again.
Taking me out of the way, placing myself in God's love or arms, however you want to put that, so that I can be what He wants me to be.
That's good preaching. You get up here. That's good preaching, man. Hey, somebody define redemption. What is redemption anyway?
Turning something in and getting something else, getting something better. Like when the old stamps that we used to save, we redeemed those to get some pretty thing or whatever.
You and I are thinking alike, man. You were the right one to pick there.
You're about my age.
How do you remember the stamps you used to collect in gas? Fill the book. And then you'd take it and redeem it. Green stamps, that's what they were called. Yeah, good stuff. I love that. Redeem something of less value for more value. How many know our life was worth nothing? And now it's the most precious thing in God's eyes. Amen? Something else about redemption. Isn't that good? Woo-hoo! Green stamps.
How did you get those stamps? You paid a price, so you got the stamps, and then they were redeemed. And Jesus
Amen.
Gave His life
Amen.
So that we would be redeemed.
Mm-hmm. Man, we got preachers in our crowd. I'm going to tell you what. You and him should get together and work on a message. Man, that's good stuff. Hey, what replaced our sin life anyway? Our old man is dead. What replaced it?
Righteousness.
Righteousness? What replaced it?
Love for Jesus.
Love for Jesus. Come on, somebody.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It was replaced by God's grace.
God's grace.
Because He loves us.
Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Christ. You know what this is right here? This is a mirror. This is where we see who we are. We read it, we get a good picture of who we are. Come on, somebody. Our sin nature has been replaced with God's nature.
Amen.
My nature is divine. I didn't say that. Scripture says that. Come on, someone. Can we know God's will?
Yes.
Yes.
Let everybody answer at once. Can we know His will?
Yes.
Yes.
Pray for the Holy Spirit to give us discernment on what He wants. And then you got to be able to hear the Holy Spirit. Which, and if you hear it, then you're going to do anything about it when you hear it.
That's it, being obedient once you hear it. The general will of God should be easy. What about the specific will of God for your life? I mean, no, that can be difficult.
Yeah. That's where relationship comes in.
There you go. You know. How many husbands know exactly what your wife is thinking just by a look? Come on, husbands.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife looks at me and it's a paragraph. It is a paragraph. How does she do that? She's a woman. And I built a relationship with her over the years to know she doesn't need to explain it again. She just looks at me. Come on, someone. I came in the other day from mowing the lawn. I came in, walked across the kitchen floor with my shoes on.
Yeah.
And all she did was look at me. I said, "Dear, I'll take care of it right now."
Yeah, that white towel, that white towel you got didn't show up.
It would show. It did show up. So guess who was cleaning the white towel? Personal will of God can be known because we have relationship. We have relationship with Him. Why do we need to know His will anyway?
That's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for, she said.
Amen.
What's God speaking to you today? See, God never fusses with us. In a general sense, He pours out His knowledge on the body of Christ all the time. I believe there's messages that we get from heaven that we're all getting from heaven if we listen close enough. But when God speaks to you specifically, He expects change. By the time you hear God's voice, He doesn't say, "Come back to me when you've thought this through."
That's all right. Yeah.
It's immediate. It's like my wife. She looked at me and my shoes came off immediately. It wasn't something that we needed to discuss.
You didn't want to discuss.
His whole thing is encouraging us. The first part of Ephesians tells us our position, but how many know with it comes all kinds of depth of responsibility, depth of realizing who we are. And I'll tell you what, this environment that we live in the world. We're not of the world, but we live in the world. And it sucks the life out of us sometimes. It tells us all things like we're not good enough, or we're not, and we make decisions based on what the world thinks. But that's not our position. Our position now is in Christ. And we know His will. And we're redeemed. And we're spoken for. And God need not go through the thing again and again and again. All it takes is a look from God to know what we're supposed to do. Now, doing it is the other thing. Because once we practice saying no to God long enough, we reach a place of rebellion. And in rebellion, the enemy is allowed to do what he can do. Come on, somebody. Let me finish up the day in this. We've got to keep our face on God. We turn around from God and say, "I'm going to do what I want to do." We've given the enemy the right to come in and confuse and badger and steal and wrap us up. Come on, somebody. But he can't and kill. But he can't do that because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who's without spot and without blemish. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, Corinthians says, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. We are who we are because of what God did for us. To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He made to abound in us. Come on, somebody. He didn't just give us enough. He gave us abundantly more than we could ever ask or hope for. This position had gone, and this journey that we're going through in Ephesians, God is really cornering us into a place of greatness in Him. Shouldn't feel uncomfortable, should feel freeing, but also with great expectation. God is looking for us to respond to this. Next week we'll go. If you're studying with me, and I trust and I pray that you are, let's look at 11 through 14 for next week. All hearts clear? Well, Father, I thank you for your great goodness to us. Thank you for your abounding grace towards us, God. Thank you for the promises in Ephesians that are ours. Lord, we're so excited about what you're doing, Father, and reminding us of our freedom in you. Thank you for this walk down
memory lane. Father, things that we should already know. But because the world has attacked us, because we've had to wait so long, it's almost like Joseph in prison and Moses after 40 years in the backside of Midian. Father, you've called us for greatness. Lord, I believe you're calling each one of us back to active duty. So God, liven your word, make it real in us, change us according to your likeness, and because of your mercy and grace, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.